Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, the second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. And today I'm thrilled to have with us Julie Rotuno, the CEO of Mid-Atlantic Packaging. Julie is also a second generation business leader. She's an Air Force veteran wife, a mother of two girls, and a passionate advocate for mentoring teens in entrepreneurship. Her journey into the family business was anything but conventional, starting out with a background in education before taking on various roles in the company. And under her leadership, Mid-Atlantic Packaging has transformed from a primary focus on plain stock packaging to a leader in custom packaging solutions, positioning the company along the way as an industry innovator. Julie is known for her dedication to family values, hands-on leadership, and a passion for packaging. And this was an interesting tidbit. She is a self-proclaimed packaging nerd. I am too, Julie. So I love that. Hey, Julie, welcome to the show. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Ed. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So you obviously didn't plan to join the family business initially. Can you share that story and how those early years, how you came to be part of that organization?
Sure. My parents founded the company, and a couple of years after they founded the business, my dad's brother, Don, joined the company. So they, growing up, they were the three owners. And so I grew up in a household of parents who were entrepreneurs. Of course, at the dinner table, they talked business. It was always around me. However, my parents never put any pressure on my sister and I, nor did my uncle with my cousins about us taking over the business later in life. It was always about us finding our passions and following what we wanted to do, since they were getting to do what they wanted. So it was always very interesting at home, just because my parents also ran a company together. And so I got exposed to a lot of business without even realizing it over the years, as well as the good and the bad of entrepreneurship. I saw my parents work so hard. However, they also were able to create a lifestyle and a schedule that they wanted. And so when I went to college, I was debating between a business degree and education. And obviously I went for education, and I taught first grade for a couple of years. However, the business side of me really, because I was 22, 23 years old, that's when I started realizing exactly what I wanted out of my life, and that the business world was more where I could capture what I wanted.
So give me just a little bit of, was the business founded? What are your earliest memories? Was it already in existence? If you go back to some of your earliest memories, was there already a Mid-Atlantic Packaging in existence when you look back?
Yeah, so it was actually Delaware Packaging.
Okay.
So it was founded a few years before I was born.
Okay. So when, like, how old were you when you first, like, consciously said, hey, my parents are involved in a family business? Like, how old would you say you were when you first, like, dawned on you, that's what they did, and that's maybe not the same as what other friends of yours parents went off and did every day?
When I was in elementary school, I remember my mom would come in for events or things, and she was always dressed, like, very nice, and different kids noticing that. Mm-hmm. So there were those pieces that I remember, as far as, like, her coming into school and, like, the kids asking about my mom, because she had on her heels and her skirt. And it's funny, the things as kids that, like, you notice about people.
Yeah.
And also just that my family was built around like my mom and dad's schedules, and just knowing it was not second nature for after dinner for my dad to go back up to the office, or on a Saturday morning till noon, him being at the office, because technology, you couldn't work from home like I have the capability to do on the weekends now. So there was those pieces that I remember as well.
So what roles did like your mom and dad and your, I guess it was your uncle, what roles did they like, did they have different roles or set roles? Like how did that work?
So my dad was on the road salesperson. So he was a salesperson. My mom, she has a business degree and she ran the operations the day to day. And then 2 years later, when my uncle joined, he also was sales. So as the company grew, my dad and my uncle, they were always on the road at that time, going and pounding the pavement. And my mom handled the office and all the day-to-day operations and the personnel.
Awesome. That's great to have that. It sounds like they both oriented to where their strengths resided. Sounds like your dad and uncle more forward facing, front of the house, and your mom was a little more backstage, like making sure everything they went off and said and did in a sales capacity could actually get done and fulfilled.
And I can tell you, my mom retired of several years ago now, and it's funny as people have come in and they're trying to, like my team, and they're working on deals and negotiations, and people come back and they're like, man, we cannot beat whoever negotiated this last deal, which is often my mom. So my mom was a powerhouse. Kim was a powerhouse when it came to her
Cool.
negotiating deals.
Nice. You were talking a little bit about before, getting back to you and your journey, Julie. You went down this path of education. You found yourself searching for more, wanting more. What, tell me a little more about that. What was that? What was that like? What was that about?
My husband and I, we started dating when I was 19, almost 20. I was in college and he was in the military. So he was active duty. He deployed a lot. So within a few months, I graduated college, turned 22, and got married, and then started teaching. So that was a lot going on for sure at that time.
Now, was
And
he active then? He was deployed. Was he
yes.
deployed at that point? Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Yes. So yeah, he deployed 3 months after we met. He signed up after 9/11, the day after 9, September 11th. And so he deployed a lot. And I graduated college in a different space than a lot of my friends because I got married. My husband was in the military already, an adult, like living in a different way than those of us graduating college. And my second year of teaching, my grandfather got very sick and he was in the hospital for 4 months. And I was trying to juggle teaching and going and visiting him each day. And I saw where my parents, they've worked extremely hard their whole entire life. The perk to that is they were able to also create the lifestyle they wanted. And therefore, my grandfather was so sick, my mom was able to also be at the hospital with him. And that was a big eye-opener for me as far as eventually I wanted to have children, all of that. And as a teacher, it is like you have to be there every single day. You don't have choices as far as like you don't have flexibility. And it just opened my eyes. That was one piece of it, was what type of lifestyle did I want? And because I was raised in a very family-centric environment, I wanted to be able to do what my parents did, which is make sure that I could prioritize my family as well.
So a lot of it came down to creating the lifestyle you wanted, as well as being active and an opportunity, obviously, to be in the family business, which I'm thinking that your folks were pretty happy about. Was that a good, how'd that conversation go when you said, okay, I think I want to do this? Tell me a little bit about that.
When I first talked to them about that, so I during the like when I was a teenager in the summers, I had a summer job here. I worked in the warehouse or teenager, like cutting the grass, things like that. However, that when I first came, there was actually not a single opening here at the company. And so my dad was like, the building needs to be painted. So if you are really looking for a job, you can paint the office. And so that was what I did. I came in and I painted that all the offices, the bathroom, the kitchen, everything. And around that time when I finished, within like several weeks, there was a position that happened to be open, that opened up, that was in purchasing and customer service. And that
Okay.
was how I first got started here officially.
That's pretty cool. In fact, it resonates with another client and good friend who coming into his business, that was the first rite of passage. And in fact, he said to his dad, "But dad, the building was just painted a few years ago." He goes, "I don't care. You're painting it."
Are you serious about this? How
Yes.
dedicated are you? Yeah, I
And
don't
yeah.
think, even at that point though, I don't think, not that I can speak for my parents, but I don't think that they still knew at that point how serious I was, how much I was really going to like it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they foresaw that I would eventually come to them and say, I want to run this company. I want this company to be mine. I want to be the CEO. I don't think that they fully expected that.
And then here you are.
And here I am.
So
Yes.
tell me a little bit too about the dynamics. So when you showed up, right? You said, okay, and you're doing painting and then eventually segueing into purchasing and other roles. How many staff were part of Mid-Atlantic or at the time? Was it how many staff did you have on the company at that point?
Probably around like 20, maybe
Okay.
25 people at that time.
And fairly long term, some of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So some of them knew you when you were little, real little.
Yes. Yes. A kid. Yes.
Okay.
Knew me as one of Herb and Kim's children. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about what that was like in terms of getting to know them now as an adult version of you and along the way earning their trust and respect. How did that process unfold?
I think that I was pretty realistic about the fact that I was going to have to show up and really show up. I was going to have to work really hard and prove that I earned and deserved to be there. And as I took on more and took on more responsibilities, that it was because I was capable of it and because I was going above and beyond instead. I was very conscious about not wanting people to ever think that I was just being handed something or that I had it a lot easier than everyone else. Because in return, I know so many people that are part of family businesses that you work with your family. In a lot of ways, that is actually an enormous amount of pressure. And a lot of times, family can have higher expectations of one another than theirs. Than the rest of the team.
Yeah.
So that can 100% be tough. I know I did put a lot of pressure on myself as far as really working hard. And
Yeah.
eventually, I also, a big epiphany for me was the realization that I am Julie. I'm not my dad or my mom. And so I had to get really comfortable in my own skin, as my confidence grew, so that I could show up as myself and not try to be somebody else. Because when you try that, it ends up not working, or it's really tough to make it work long term.
It is. That's a tremendous insight. And as I'm talking with you, I'm realizing that by virtue of some of your circumstances, Julie, you had to grow up fast.
Yes.
And as a result, I think you've been exposed to and experienced probably a lot more sooner that's shaped your ability to find your own voice. Because I think a lot of us, I know that was true in my early career. It wasn't really my voice. It was the voice of maybe my father or what I learned and read and what I saw from the marketing experts. And I hadn't really formulated my own opinions, my own philosophies. That all took time, but eventually, those would show up. But you were hitting your stride probably a little quicker just because, you had to. You had to do it. It sounds like both your parents played a bit of a hand in mentoring you. Would you say that's true? Okay. So What were some of the maybe one or two really valuable insights or lessons that you gleaned from them that you still apply and they still influence your leadership style today?
Once I shared with them my goals and aspirations here at Mid-Atlantic Packaging, my mom mentored me for 5 years before she retired and I took over as COO.
Okay.
And we really dove into budgeting and understanding the profit and loss statement and the balance sheets. And because I was being taught by her so much of that, and she knew her ins and outs. I didn't realize how much I actually knew until I started joining other business groups and talking business with other people, because I always compared myself to her. And I realized, oh, I actually know my stuff. And but knowing those pieces is so important, because our customers are all business owners. We sell packaging to typically independently owned retailers. And just because you own a business or you start a business doesn't mean there's no way to know the ins and outs of every aspect of running a business. So that was huge for me, with my mom mentoring me in that piece, because it made me more comfortable now as a CEO with making decisions that need to be made. And another piece is with my dad, which is business related but also personal, is the realization I always thought I was more like my mom than my dad. And as him and I have developed our relationship as an adult and me at the company, is realizing how I see things from a business standpoint. We have a lot in common. And we joke about whether that's a good or a bad thing. Like, my dad will joke about that, but he always is looking ahead. He's always looking at what is like plan A and B, or A, B, and C, looking at how can we pivot if needed. And that is huge for the success of a business, especially when you're talking about a family-owned and operated business, one that's not like a huge corporation or something. Is being able to have like forecast, look out and see when do you need to pivot, and then being able to do it. And that's how we've been in business for 43 years, is because things are ever changing and evolving. And therefore, we are having to continuously pivot.
Absolutely. A longtime mentor and friend of mine, he often speaks to, usually more in sales, but the context can apply to broader business, is always having three ways to victory. So you're always having a backup plan. And sometimes when you can, a backup to your backup plan. He's like, if you always have three ways to victory, you're probably going to accomplish your goal. So that's a really healthy perspective. Now, your dad is he still active in the company, or is he retired as well?
Yes. So he is still, he's tech, he's part-time, and so is my uncle. And my uncle is fully retiring the end of this year. My dad will be around for a little bit longer. They still have like certain accounts that they work with from the sales side. And my dad still assists me with certain projects, or we have our production team that him and I really put together during the pandemic. So there's those pieces, and also still mentoring me.
That's great. That's great. When my dad passed in 2012, but we had completed the transition and the buyout. And for those like last 10 or 12 years, he was a tremendous mentor to me. And he'd often say, I can't speak to the technology of your world that's changed so much. I found that a lot of times, Julie, I was coming in with people issues. Like, how do you handle this with this client or this person or this employee? And he was very good with those. He had a good sensibility of people. And that's what we talk about a lot. It's great that he's there and that you have that access to that quite an amazing knowledge resource, I would think. So that's all.
Yes, it is. That's always a challenge, is how do you pick their brains and get as much as you can out of them with their knowledge, their experience. And yes, things change and we have to evolve as a business. However, there are a lot of key core concepts or core pieces of this business that are just as relevant today as they were when they started.
So let's talk about personal lines and professional lines of conversation and communication. So this is often an issue that comes up with the family business dynamic. You're a CEO, you're also a daughter, you're also a niece. So how do you and your other key family members, how have you established, say, healthy boundaries or healthy ways of communicating? How do you all do it to make it all work?
When I decided that this was really what I wanted to do, I sat down with my dad, and him and I had a very candid conversation with one another as far as our interactions and what would work and not work between us because of father and daughter, but also it being business. And that is can be a really tough conversation to have with just putting it out there. And I'm really glad that we were able to do that and continue to have those lines of conversation. And it doesn't mean that it goes perfectly all the time, but I can say we've all put a lot of work into as a family as far as how things are established with me as the CEO now, and that they and then them as my with as owners of Mid-Atlantic, what that looks like. And we had someone come in, a mentor of ours that works with other family businesses to help us establish those and the understanding of when we all wear like a different hats. So when are they talking to me as an owner, or when are they talking to me as a parent or as somebody that works for me? My dad jokes all the time. He brags with people about that him and my uncle have worked for me for almost 4 years and they haven't gotten fired yet. So he always jokes about that. And so it's just trying to have a line of communication and all of us putting a lot of effort. They have truly, when I took over as CEO, I know they have all put a lot of effort into giving me the space to grow and take over the company. And when you found our founders of a business and that's been your life for many years, I can only imagine how tough that can be.
Yeah, but that's interesting. And so you actually, with an outside consultant or to help with some of the, was it really like help navigate the transition or just really more to establish healthy best practices around communication or all of the above? That sounds like that was really some good work,
Yeah,
y'all.
all of the above, especially specifically with the transition. So I joined a business group that were like the next up and coming in their businesses.
Oh,
And
okay.
so that we all would meet once a month and talk about those. And it was formed from a business group that my dad was in with all of those people with the like CEOs or owners of those businesses. And Stan, he led that group. And then he started this next group that was us next up and comers. And then as we transitioned all of us into our next roles and taking over businesses. So that, and then he worked with us as a company as well. And that, and developing plans, having plans, talking through things, and that definitely has helped tremendously.
Would that organization have been Vistage?
Stan used to lead Vistage, and then
Okay.
they all formed their own
Their
group.
own group. Okay. So it's Vistage. Yeah, because it sounded very Vistage, but that's great. So you got some peer learning as well along the way too.
Correct. And
That's
having
great.
those relationships of people that are we're all in completely different businesses, but knowing such a huge piece of business is the same, no matter what type of business you're in, or nonprofit, or anything.
Yeah. But I think a great takeaway for listeners is sometimes it's very helpful to get an outsider's perspective, that somebody who has the trust and respect of family leadership and governance who isn't a family member,
Yes,
right?
because with family, being part of family and running a business, there's so many different layers that can come into play.
So one of the things that I was reading about is an interesting, and we talked about pivots and shifts before, but one of them that in reading your background was of a shift from being Initially, we were predominantly more of a stock packaging organization to one that is now gravitating into what I'll call more custom packaging solutions. Can you talk a little bit about what sparked that transformation and how you were part of that whole experience?
In today's world with marketing, branding is ever more important. And I think that, with branding, with marketing, that and how that all combines, it was that natural shift for a lot of businesses to make sure that how are they branding themselves? How are they marketing themselves? So there's that natural shift that has happened. And it started with we first just had a few machines here at the company called hot stamp machines. And once a bag or box is made, we would do those here. And we had the opportunity to purchase more. And then we had an opportunity that we seized with post printing ink machines. And my dad loves to build. He loves, that entrepreneur and spirit. And we saw that the power of instead of us going, having to utilize other manufacturers to do all the custom packaging as it was growing, and that's what we used to do, that it would be pivotal for us to be able to do it ourselves. And so during the pandemic, we acquired another company, and as well, that also was post printing, hot stamping. And we took that opportunity with all of those pieces to build the in-house production team that we have now. And that's been super powerful for us to have those capabilities in-house. And therefore, the natural progression of us doing a lot more branded custom packaging than we used to do.
And do you still offer stock solutions too for some that,
Yes, we're still a stocking wholesale distributor. So we have a big giant warehouse with a lot of products here, and we have our website. So people can still, they can go on and place an order and it shipped that day. We still really believe in the power of stock package and the combination of being able to offer both.
Yeah, I think that gives you a greater range of access to the marketplace, right? Because there's different stages, some that are maybe newer in there, they're more of the startup. They might need to be in a stock package initially, just on the basis of cost and where they are, to those that are going the next level, which is, all right, we're ready to really establish ourselves as a brand and we want to go up market a little bit or flex our brand strength a little more. And you've got resources for that too. So you can carry them the entire journey, one could say. That's great.
Yes, absolutely. And we have such a huge foundation. We have, because we've been in business for 43 years, we are partnered with the best manufacturers here in the US, as well as manufacturers around the world. And that piece really, starting with the plain stock, building that foundation with manufacturers stateside, and then how that's evolved.
I'd have to guess that because I was recently at LuxPack last week at the luxury packaging show in Javits. And probably the number one question on people's mouths was not about sustainability or recyclability or reusability, is do you make stuff in the US?
Exactly. Yes, because the tariff, it's a big question. It's a huge, what are our options? So that is the exciting piece for us here at Mid-Atlantic, is that we have those options. We already have all those relationships with manufacturers here in the US. We already have our post printing production team here. And so, yes, we're still having to figure things out for our customers as far as what we import. However, we have so many options that are right here in the US that we already do every single day. And so that is definitely us playing into what our, that strength right now for our
Absolutely.
customers, and helping them to relieve the stress for them and saying, we got you covered. Here's your options. Let us remove one little piece of the stress going on with
Yeah.
owning a company.
And who's to say where it will all end up? But in the here and now, in the short term or the near term, I should say, that certainly puts you in an advantageous position to have that flexibility and have those US soil resources to bring to bear. As the company kind of shifted into more custom, how did you, was it challenging to evolve the message as to who you were as a company? Were people fairly adoptive of that, or did you have to re-educate customers and prospects and say, we're not just stock solutions, we also have a custom capability? Like, how did you go about that process? Or is that kind of ongoing? I don't know.
I was going to say it actually is ongoing because in the world of packaging, it's ever evolving and changing. And what are your options out there? And so people might be used to just getting plain stock from us, or hey, Mid-Atlantic Packaging does paper custom shoppers. However, we want them to also know that we also do custom tissue paper or custom candy boxes. So it's that messaging of constantly wanting to put yourself out there, showcase all that you can do. And from a marketing perspective, that is a piece that we've always really had to work on and figure out that go-to-market plan as things have changed as far as what that looks like. And that's still, I can tell you, my marketing manager and I, it's still a conversation that we have often is how do we make sure that people know all that we actually do?
Yeah, that's the I often say to clients, the worst things that I'd ever hear from one of their current customers' mouths is, I didn't know you could do that, because that means they went somewhere else with whatever that was. And that a lot of times our clients would get frustrated. It's like, no, the onus is on you to explain, re-explain, reaffirm that you can do that, that you're available to do that. And you don't have to be salesy and you don't have to be in their face. You just have to be visible and available.
Yes, and being informative. And that's where, as with my teaching degree, that is something that I utilize every day as being in business because it is about the education piece, the communication piece, making sure your team understands things, your customers understand things, and how do you communicate it so that people understand it. And it's not some that's that is a difficult thing. It can be a difficult thing to do, for sure.
And it just occurred to me how valuable that initial foundation you had in teaching others has proven to be, probably in your role, having that capacity to explain things, to break them down, to understand and look for the cues. Do they understand? Do they get it? Or do they just want to sound like they get it? Or do they really get it?
Yes,
So
for sure. And
that's
now,
pretty
like,
cool.
yeah, and I love that piece too with working with our customers or potential customers, just with explaining options or sharing the importance of branding and how packaging is key for so many business. That's a big piece for businesses as far as sales and you know somebody to know who you are and want to purchase from you. So it is interesting because it definitely in some ways comes full circle.
Yeah, for sure. Now, interestingly, that you apply that, and I was again reading in some of your background, not only to mentoring and teaching and educating personnel or customers or prospects, but also young people who are looking to track into entrepreneurship. So, can you talk a little bit about some of your work with young people and what kinds of advice you might be giving them about starting a business? So, talk about that for a moment.
I just recently was someone shared an article with me about entrepreneurship in young people. And I was saying how we shortchange them all the time with what they're actually capable of. When kids and teens, they can be extremely creative when given the opportunity. They can come up with solutions that we might never as an adult think of that are super creative because they're wanting to solve a problem or figure something out. And we got that opportunity here with at Mid-Atlantic. We have interns that come in from college. And during the pandemic, when we were bringing in another company, there were the high schoolers, they were partially in like doing Zoom and then had all this free time. And some high schoolers that lived near our building, they were out skateboarding and my dad was doing stuff. And they were like, "Do you have any jobs available?" And my dad was like, "Actually, we do have some things happening that we could really use help with." And so we had during that time several high school students that worked part-time, and having their different viewpoints, their energy that they build or that they bring to the table was awesome. One of those students, he was under a lot of pressure from his family to, it was his senior year, to drop out and of high school to get a job like full time to be able to help with making providing for the family.
Yeah, incredible.
And he was so we were able to create a space because we always have a key for any intern, anyone that's here, you have to be passing your classes. Like you cannot come and work here if you're not taking your education seriously. And so he would come, we created a space so he could come and he could do his schoolwork from here and then work. And he graduated his senior year and got his high school diploma.
Okay.
And that was awesome to be a piece of that. And having other interns that come in and help us. Now my daughters are, they're 12 and 14. So my oldest, Sophia, is a freshman in high school. In middle school, they started with like career days, career fairs, and I wanted to make sure that entrepreneurship was a piece of that. I thought it
Yeah.
was really important. So I started going to those events and showcasing. And now that she's in high school, I've become involved at the high school level as well with not with my daughter, but with other students that are in marketing business realms and everything. Because I just think you don't know, it's so important to see what other people are accomplishing and to raise the bar, raise what you and seeing other people and what they're accomplishing, how that is so motivating for me being with other people and what they're accomplishing has been so motivating. And me being able to lift that bar constantly of what I view as the potential of myself, of my business, and wanting other students to have that same experience of, wow, what is possible? And even at after talking with me, they're like, "I know that's not what I want to do." Then that's awesome because at least it's one thing that they're crossing off of their list that they
Yes.
know they don't want to do. It's, I really enjoy it a lot. My team here loves it. They love being a part of things. We're right now in the process of having a college summer internship program, the first one we've had. And so, yeah, it's really an awesome like part to just be to be a part of people's journey in whatever aspect. Like I said, even if it's just them knowing that they don't want to have
Yeah.
my job someday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We do a lot of job shadowing from the colleges local to us. And I often tell the students when they come in, I'm like, you're either going to really like this environment or you're not, or you're going to be undecided. I said, it's all good because it's all going to help shape and form whatever your next steps might be.
Yes.
Just take it for what it's worth and whatever it's worth to you.
It does
They
not hurt my
do. Yeah.
feelings. It's all
Yeah.
good.
Because it's not everything is for everyone. And that's why we're all different. But that's cool. So, the daughters are a little young. And you said that, emphasized that a no pressure next generation. But do you think that might be a possibility?
It is absolutely a possibility. Both my
Okay.
husband and I are both entrepreneurs, so they are getting access to two different businesses at home. And so I can see in them where there are pieces of our businesses or this business or even them just starting their own business, being an entrepreneur, where they could absolutely accomplish it. I know that they're still, since they are young, still figuring out what they want, especially I can say for my daughter, she'll be 15 and she's still figuring, obviously, like figuring out what are the options. And that's where exposure comes in and just trying to expose them to as much as possible to help
Yeah.
them to figure out. And if they do decide, like they have not worked here yet, even for a summer job or anything yet, then what does that look like? And what are the expectations versus if they go and work somewhere else? I haven't gotten quite that far, Ed, what
I know, it's early. It's
that
early.
would
There's time.
potentially look like, but obviously
Yeah.
it is a possibility.
But what I love that you said is really that if you open that door, you would do it the right way. Whereas I think a lot of times the next generation just falls into the family business. And maybe it's just through osmosis or exposure. Or I think when I was seven, my dad's like, come to the office and make press kits. And I'm like, that sounds like a lot of work. How many of them? He's there's about 300. I'm like, okay. He's like, how about if I get you a Star Wars toy? Will that do it? I'm like, yeah, that'll do it. So,
Yes. Oh yeah, they
Yeah.
have when they were little, they like if my dad was out of the office, they would put up a sign on the his door saying it was their office and take over the space. Or we would have like playing bags with labels and stickers and they would sit there creating things, helping with like labeling things, putting paper like in folders. So yes, and they spent a lot of time, especially when they were younger here. And are very comfortable here, obviously, since they used to put a sign up on my dad's door saying it was their office.
And that's great. And I think sometimes we take for granted how much they see and they absorb just by watching you, by watching your husband and observing. And there's a common theme to many of the guests on the show. It's that process started early, at a very young age. There was that exposure and it never really stopped. So that when that time came and that opportunity came, it's not like you were coming into a whole different universe. You were coming into something that, in many ways, was quite familiar. You just didn't really appreciate it as much at that moment. But the look back is, wow, I've been exposed to this my whole life, or a good part of it.
Yes, and especially seeing the grind, seeing the work ethic, seeing all that it
Wow.
takes.
Yes, the
So,
good, the bad, the ugly, all of it.
yeah, that it's, you can't fully imagine until you're in it, but to have an idea of what it takes.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So let's look a little bit to the future or the right now. What are some things, packaging, it's such a dynamic industry as we've spoken about. What are some things going on right now that are really exciting you, Julie, about the industry or about some of the things you're doing at Mid-Atlantic?
I think that some of the fun things is the always the evolving trends when like you mentioned about like sustainability, and that is a loaded word because it can mean so many things to so many
Sure
different
can.
people or depending on the year. And so that is always interesting. I think it's interesting because it's becoming as a unit in packaging, how do you incorporate that naturally? Versus it used to be a very specific, like segregated section where now it's becoming more that it's just a piece of the conversation. But I think just what are the latest and greatest, even just pat like the colors, the design, the expectations, how quickly can things get done or where can things get made is always fun for me. I like always seeing what is up and coming as far as colors, branding. What does that look like? There are absolute and there have been challenges in our industry as far as enough manufacturing options, as far as having enough paper out there. Or in our industry, there we've been dealing with tariffs for a couple of years. For shopping bags and your like certain Euro totes. And so that certainly has had a like us to be pushed to constantly be looking at what is the next thing or what are our options. And knowing that if you keep pushing and you keep grinding and you keep figuring it out and you're open-minded, that you'll get it fig that you'll get it. Figured out. So I think for us, it's exciting with our in-house capabilities and as we're constantly pushing the envelope with what we can do in-house. So personally, that's super exciting that I can say for my team is we're constantly pushing the envelope on what can we do here. And then working, looking and seeing with manufacturers, like with digital printing, for example, that's still, it's come a long way, but it's still a long way to go in a lot of respects when it comes to capabilities with packaging. So what does that look like? And now with utilizing AI technology, how, okay, what options do we have for that? And how does that incorporate with doing business?
That's something that's going to be integrating and think, I think, into all industries in various ways. So when you look out to, say, the next 5 years, how do you see the business evolving? How do you see your role evolving? Can you talk about that for a moment?
As you can see, I light up if you're like a little bit when you ask me that. And that is because I'm so excited to be able for us to be out there face to face talking with customers, potential customers, sharing the ins and outs of packaging to help make their our people's lives easier with the decisions that need to be made, understanding the basics or the importance of utilizing it. Okay, if you're going to spend the money on packaging, then let's use it for the greater good and make you help you to bring brand awareness and make more money and be able to charge your cost, have better pricing that you get, like better margins on your own products because of how good your packaging makes everything look. And so that is super exciting, us getting out and becoming more, yes, we've been in business for 43 years. However, there's still a lot of people and a lot of businesses that don't know about us. So getting out there and expanding our reach and giving people the experience of that amazing customer service and a piece of that family business dynamic that we continue to bring and expose that to more businesses and help and us to be able to help them with a piece of their dreams and being successful business owners.
And having the resources, it sounds, with the to take them from that early stage. And
Yes.
that's always exciting. And I'm sure even in your tenure, you've seen some of that evolution of certain customers that started
It's
out small
awesome.
and now they're big, and you were there at every chapter journey for them and continue to be so. That's really exciting too.
It's so motivating, encouraging to see, getting to watch people with having their own dreams, having the dream of owning their own business, being an entrepreneur, and that process. And for us to be a little piece of that along the way, that journey, and being able to be a cheerleader for them, it's
Yeah,
awesome.
that's great. That's great. Last question. If one of our listeners wanted to learn more about you or more about Mid-Atlantic Packaging, what's the best way for them to connect?
Our website is midatlanticpackaging.com, and there you will see our all the products that we sell from plain stock, a lot of our custom options that we do, and ways to be able to reach out to us. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Julie Rotuno, and I would love to hear from the listeners as far as their insights, their take on our conversation today on family, on B2B business, on family business, but also if there are projects and things that we can do to help other businesses.
Awesome. Awesome. Julie, thank you so much for sharing your story, your insights, and really a really remarkable journey so far with more to come at Mid-Atlantic Packaging. So again, we've been speaking with Julie Rotuno, CEO of Mid-Atlantic Packaging, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and this is Growing Up B2B. Thanks so much for joining us and have a wonderful day. Thanks again, Julie.
Thank you, Ed.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed Delia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.